It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Boom! Ready? Down! Hut, 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 hut!
Welcome back to the Oblong Ball Foot Show. You can follow us at ChairShotNFL. You can follow me at PC Tony. You can follow this other guy over here at IWC War Chief. If you have any hate mail this week, send it to at It's Ray Cash, who's out on assignment. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I mean, I'm good. I finally know how you feel with the 3-0 lock picks. So there we go.
Listen.
Nice.
You and Ray both beat me last week. Ray went 2-1, improving his record to 4-2, which is actually improving his record to 6-3, which is actually 6-4 because he's got to count the game that we bet on because that's locking something in. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
So you're 500 now, bud.
I know, 15-15. Look at that.
First losing week since week 2 for me.
That sounds right.
So that brings me to 19-11, and you add in the 3 money games I won this year, 22-11.
Okay. I'm not saying my record's better than yours. It's just nice to be rewarded for a couple ideas.
What did you do the week before? Is that 2 winning weeks in a row?
No, the week before that was 1-2 everything was off by a touch.
No.
Or the Falcons shit the bed too, so it's new. Okay. This is probably my first winning week in a hot minute.
No, you had a winning week in week 9.
In week 9?
Nine.
So it's a week that should have been the Germany week, but no, of course not.
No.
We don't give Germany the week that we want to. No.
They say synergy. We say synergy, they say no.
No, they say 9.
They say 9. 9.
Give us the Patriots and the Giants the week after 9.
Ick. There's a lot of ick things happening in the NFL right now.
Not just in the German language? Ich bin ein Berliner and all that other stuff?
I am a donut.
I knew you knew that. I knew most people know that.
They should. They really should. But yeah, no Ray Cash this week. But we still got our locks. We got our picks. We got our dumbasses. We got our weapons. We got our power rankings, which I think is going to be inciting. If Ray was here, I definitely, Andrew might kind of see where I'm going with this, but I think it'll be intriguing conversation as we get to the top of these power rankings here this week.
Why don't we just do the top 15, like the playoff contenders?
Okay.
Let's mix it up a little bit, because I don't think our bottom changed much. Ooh, what, did one shitty team move from 28 to 27? The shitty teams are the shitty teams, more or less. When they beat each other, you're beating up on other shitty teams. So,
yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Or just, do you want to expand it to maybe 16 or 17? Like, where is your bubble at?
Well, I think 14 teams make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but there's always a race for wild cards. So where do you want to go? Do you want to go 15? Do you want to go 18? Do you want to just do 14? Like our who would make the playoffs now kind of thing? If we just went on power and not actual 7-7 AFC NFC, because I didn't pay that much attention.
I think we can each run through the bottom half of our list without really commenting on each other, and then start in the top half of the league at 16.
That works. Yeah. I like it.
It's a good on-air show meeting. That's some productivity right there.
I mean, they get to see how our prep meetings go, and by that I mean they don't. So sometimes I just put an idea. This isn't scripted. This is pure improv all day, every day.
Not a sports fan, huh?
Fuck off.
Over. Well, let's get to the fun stuff here. I think it's a very good time.
Choose your weapon. The barrel of a weapon. Show me where to go. The barrel of a weapon. The ending. Only you will know.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Good job.
Yeah. Did you just get notifications that I decided to vote in the thing just to remind myself who was on our weapons and everything?
Oh, is that what you're doing? I was just pulling up these guys so that we could get some stats here. So let's start with the weapons of the week. I don't even remember who nominated who. Do you?
I know I had Taysom and Evan McPherson.
I think I
basically said that kickers were the dumbasses this week in general, but I picked McPherson. And Taysom, you know, everybody makes the joke. Taysom get the car, Taysom run the ball, Taysom throw the ball, Taysom catch the ball. He kind of fucking did that this week. He got the lunches, he caught the ball, he ran the only thing he didn't do was throw a touchdown, but it technically wasn't incomplete.
Yeah, 8 catches for 50 yards, 7 carries for 138 yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns.
And he was 1-for-2 with a completion and an interception. So that's 2 completions, if you ask me.
I suppose.
it's really good at everything.
Goff, after throwing 5 interceptions in a game, comes back and throws 4 touchdowns, 2 of them to my weapon of the week, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had 11 catches on 11 targets for a 161 and 2 touchdowns, like I said. And then Ray's nomination was the other really good rookie quarterback this year besides Jaden Daniels. We're talking about Bo Nix, 23-28, 307 for 4 tutty buddies, baby.
So that's probably the argument right there for offensive rookie of the year. It's going to be Jaden or Bo. Who are you leaning towards right now?
I don't know. That's a really good question. You look at here, I can actually...
You going to compare and contrast?
I'm going to try to. Jaden Daniels this year so far, 2,300 yards passing, 10 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 482 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. Bo Nix this season so far, just under 2,300 yards rushing, or passing, sorry, 14 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 295 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. So, Jaden looks to be a little more efficient with a few more rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I agree.
Although,
no,
yeah.
I agree with your assessment. Yeah. He's a little more accurate completion percentage-wise. He's got a couple more yards, less touchdowns, less picks, more rushing yards, though. So, like, I don't, Bo's been good, though. Like,
I think he's snuck up on some teams, and I think that's going to stop. Teams are going to really... You know what's funny is I need to pick up a fantasy football quarterback for week 14 because Jaden Daniels, that's his bye. And I know Bo Nix is bye as the same week, but I just picked him up anyway, just because. Because I'm like, I think he's going to be really good, and I'm going to get some value for him somewhere.
You're going to pick up Tommy DeVito as your week 14 in case of emergency break last, aren't you?
I have no idea who it's going to be yet. I'm just going to have to wait and see who's out there.
You don't like Tommy Cutlets? He's not going to be your backup QB?
The trade deadline's over. Tommy Cutlets is a dumbass, and that leads us to the dumbasses of the week.
Technically, that was his agent.
Ray has the Jaguars defense, and that's really, you don't really need to say much
that's
about that.
That's punching down, though. Yeah. That's punching down.
Yeah. I have Zach Robinson, because sometimes the Atlanta Falcons look like an absolutely inefficient, insufficient fucking offense, which should never be the case when you have that many weapons and that good of an offensive line. Like, their offensive line is an A+, but it's not worse than, like, a close to solid B, damn near B+ offensive line. I mean, they should be way more consistent than they are on offense. So Zach Robinson, he just happened to catch my ire this week.
Yeah, and like I kind of already gave up when we first started talking about things. Just kickers had a rough week in general. I picked on McPherson because McPherson found a way that when the Chargers tried to charger, the Bengals out-chargered the Chargers. So, and it's mostly McPherson's fault for missing two field goals. So, I don't know, you could blame Tucker because Tucker missed two field goals also, didn't he? And the yeah, Steelers but, only won by two?
Yeah, but Tucker's technically like the one of the top three kickers of all time. So
he's missed a lot, though, this year. Like, he's on his Mason Crosby bad year shit. Like,
I guess. I don't know.
Dumbass. He's been inaccurate. Yeah, there's that. I wouldn't go as far as calling Justin Tucker a dumbass just because of his pedigree, and he's been the best kicker in the league for like a decade, but it's close.
Well, if you're listening to this show Thursday morning, which you should be to get yourself ready for the NFL week, go ahead and head on over to that X poll at Cheershot NFL is the handle still over there, and you can vote for your weapon of the week. Either it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Taysom Hill, or Bo Nix. And dumbass of the week, is it the Jaguars D, Evan McPherson, or Zach Robinson? Head on over and vote at Chairshot NFL. And folks, it is the gift-giving season, so head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. Plenty of great designs. Does not just have to be in a t-shirt. Get it in a tank top. Get it in long sleeve. Get it in a hoodie, but get it now and get it as a gift for somebody. Don't just get them a tie. Don't get them a pair of socks. Don't get a new umbrella. Go ahead and get them a ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot t-shirt. Do it now. We'll be right back right after this.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
There should be somebody going, me.
You have to make the edit then.
I think I just did.
There you go. Figured out. But yeah, so we know power rankings. Everybody does it. But, you know, ours are always interesting. I'll put it that way because nobody does it the same. But we talk about it. So here we go. Let's breeze through 32 through 17. As we talked about ahead of time, that's what we'll do. So,
well, no, we didn't. Just to be fair, to
ahead of time, ahead of
no,
time,
no, ahead of time, as in right ahead of time,
12 minutes ago,
ahead of time of this, as in of this segment, yes, ahead of time, of,
everything
as of,
before
as
now
of,
is ahead
of
time,
as of the beginning of this episode. No, we talked about it during time, which is fine. I'm okay with that, but we gotta be upfront about it.
Talk about time space
during time,
dirty time,
hated it.
Anyway, so 32 through 17 for me. Raiders, Cowboys, Titans, Patriots, Browns, Giants, Jets, Panthers, Jaguars, Bears, Saints, Dolphins, Seahawks, Colts, Bucks, Bengals are 17 because they're right on that border of if they can get their shit together and have a defense for a couple weeks, they could go on a run, but they're just a little embarrassing.
So everybody that's in my bottom half either stayed the same or went up or down one or two, except for two teams.
I think mine was mostly the same, too.
Jacksonville at 32. I have Dallas at 31, down four spots. That's one of those teams. They're just a mess.
Same.
Giants 30, Titans 29, Raiders 28, Browns 27, Bears 26, Jets 25, Patriots 24, Saints 23, Carolina Panthers 22, Miami Dolphins 21, the Bengals down six spots to 20. Indy at 19, Tampa Bay at 18, and Atlanta Falcons in the bottom half of the league as far as I'm concerned. The way I'm – it's changing, folks. The way I'm doing the rankings is changing, and you're about to find out as we get going here into the righteous half of the league. So,
fair enough, and I kind of see your logic on that, but Falcons I still had to put in the top half because they're still winning that division even – if it's not pretty and it's not by much, and they looked kind of shitty last week, but they're still ahead. So they're still going to make the playoffs.
We'll see.
At the moment, they're still in in the playoff seat.
Fair enough. But,
all right. So 16 could be where you have opinions. So I'm glad we start here. I have the Niners at 16.
Okay. I have the Seattle at 16.
Okay, so you have the Niners higher than the team that just beat them.
I have the Niners at 15, and here is where we just start the debating and me just telling you the way I think it is. I know they lost last week. I don't care. I still think that the Niners have a better shot of winning the Super Bowl than Seattle.
How'd that pay off for the last couple weeks, though? Like, really, I'm just saying. Like, they barely beat the Bucks, who haven't looked great, and they lost to Seattle.
Listen, I'm a smell test guy, all right?
I know this ain't the smell test. You're looking at paper and you're hoping it smells good. This is like one of those scratch and sniffs where you're looking at the thing of cherries and you're just like, I like cherries. Cherries smell good. I'm going to save this for the last thing I scratch so I can put it on the test I really like and then hang it on the fridge. Well, these cherries going to taste like shit. They're going to smell like shit, too. It's just the way it is. I got you, but you know, you're always so high on the Niners.
I'm
Niners
sorry.
Look like ass.
They're
this
gonna
year,
get
though.
It together. Watch. They will make the playoffs. I'm telling you.
I mean, they might if they go on a late season run. But if we look at what they've showed us so far, it's Jack and shit, and Jack left town.
I'm not arguing with you. This is my list.
Fair enough. I put the Broncos at 15 because at least they show life and they're probably going to make the playoffs. They're like that fringe wildcard team.
Yeah, I got the Broncos a little bit higher than that. I have the Rams at 14, up six spots.
Same.
Yeah, I just think that they're going to get it together.
They're streaky. It's probably going to be the Rams or the Broncos, you know, kind of thing. And like who really fits that wildcard mold. I get that they're different conferences, but like, you know, like they're both those hedge, like bubble case kind of teams where two bad weeks or two good weeks suddenly change everything for them.
No,
so it's going to be interesting where the Rams and the Broncos kind of fall.
It's funny. The Cardinals, like, I think they won the last 2 weeks or either had a win and not such a bad loss or whatever. And they just stayed at the same spot. But now this week they're off and I have them move up three spots to 13.
Okay. See, now I like at least my rule of they never move. You know,
I mean,
if
the just
Cardinals
the way, like,
are on a four-game winning streak.
Andrew, listen. Either Tuesday or Wednesday at some point I sit down and I pull up the standings on my phone. And that allows me to go into any team and their schedule if I want to look at their losses or their wins. And I don't really look at last week's. I just start.
You're
making...
projecting too. You're starting to think where you think they're going to
land.
Is that what
some
of the
math
is?
Well, I don't know about all that. It's just how much do I believe in them right now, melded in with the record that what they've shown us. It's more more. It's kind of it's leaning into it. Trust me, in a couple weeks, it's going to be even more ridiculous.
Okay, that's good.
Okay,
so good. Speaking of ridiculous, we know that the Cardinals have to stay at 10 for me because bye week, and I had them at 10 last week. I would have probably dropped them down a little, only because they didn't play in other teams I feel like looked better or worse or deserved that 10 spot a bit. But that's not how my rankings work. So Cardinals are 10 for me purely because of bye week bias. But the Cardinals, 13, I have the Falcons.
The Cardinals could be higher. I mean, technically, they have one bad loss. Well, two bad losses. Yeah. Anyway,
never mind. But 13, I have the Falcons, just off of the fact that somebody's going to win that division. And the Falcons, while they don't look great, that's why they're at the bottom of, like, this playoff contention group. Like, they need to figure their shit out, especially for my Super Bowl fucking pick. The Falcons need to figure this the fuck out. Can't have them fucking squandering a fucking division lead and fucking looking like ass towards the end of the season. No, no. No, no, I say. Kirk Cousins needs to figure it out.
12, I got Washington.
12, I have Houston.
Yeah, I got Houston up a couple spots to 10. Denver's at 11 for me. I think Denver's pulled ahead of Washington for me.
Commanders I have at 11 just because that was a bad loss. Like, it was kind of a pathetic game for, like, three quarters, the Eagles game on Thursday. And then the Eagles defense kind of stepped up a little bit, and the Commanders offense did nothing. So I'm like, and they've had a little struggle the last couple weeks. So I don't know if it's just growing pains or if it's them showing who they really are and they're not as good as, like, their initial excitement gave them. But, yeah, the luster is starting to wane on the Commanders.
Yeah, it well, you know, it's a few tough weeks in a row. Who do they have this next week now? The Titans. Oh, okay, well, it gets better. The Cowboys, Titans in a bye week, and then you come back with the Saints. So, and you finish with the Falcons and the Cowboys. They're going to be okay. Commanders are going to make the playoffs, folks. I just looked at their schedule. You're going to be fine.
Okay, they'll probably lose one of those Cowboys games, though, just because divisional bullshit. Even bad teams put up fights in division games. Don't do that. The Lions beat the Packers sometimes.
Dumb.
Ask Aaron Rodgers if the Lions ever beat them when they were mathematically out of the playoffs and fucked over their playoff record.
Not my quarterback anymore.
But it was your team. Your team went home for the weekend or for this winter.
Who do you have at 10?
Playoffs.
Who do you have at 10, damn it?
The Cardinals, we've been over this. Oh, okay. Bye week. You have to stay there.
9, Baltimore?
9? I have the Vikings.
Oh, okay. I have Baltimore at 9.
Oh, I have them at 8.
I got the Packers and Minnesota 8 and 7, staying in the same place. Baltimore down 3 to 9.
Yeah, I have Packers at 7. Then my right before the top 5, which I was struggling a little bit between this team and the team I ended up putting 5.
Yep.
But What? Say it.
You got the Chargers at 6, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
We have the same five teams, just maybe. What's the order, though? Chargers, Chargers look great.
For you.
Chargers look great.
The Chargers did look really good, but I had to give deference to the record at the moment.
So
even if I don't think the team looks as good.
I don't know if it was from this last week or whatever, but I seen a YouTube clip. Did Justin Herbert have a rushing touchdown last week? Check that out. Anyway, I see this clip of the Chargers. Someone called timeout and they had a goal and goal to go play from like inside the 5, right around the 5 or whatever. And Herbert says to Harbaugh while they're on the sideline, like just off the sideline on the field during a timeout. And he's like, I think it makes sense. We're just going to run it here. And he goes, oh, I totally agree. He goes, but let's stand here right now and act like you're going to throw the ball.
I did see that clip.
Yeah. He's like, and you're going to throw the ball. And he's like, what? So let's do that.
And they did like,
and Justin wasn't going to do it. And then Jim goes something like, no, now do it. And Justin goes, oh, yeah, or I could go backside and throw it over there. And Jim's like, oh, yeah, that would work. And he goes, now you could also throw it over there, too. Or, yeah, I could go over there. And what does he do? He keeps it and runs right up the fucking middle. And, like, the passion that Jim Harbaugh has for his guys, his team, he seems like a guy that you, I would want to play for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, especially because he gets it. He understands football.
Well, he was a player.
He was a quarterback. He was a player. And so he's a player's coach because he was a player. And it's a lot like the Dan Campbell effect. He just understands how football players think. And Herbert didn't have the rushing touchdown this week, but regardless, I've seen that clip too. So that had to happen
this
a
year.
Couple weeks ago.
Yeah, this year.
Definitely this year, obviously.
Right, so this season. So apropos either way. Yeah. Okay, top five. Here we go.
Philly. The team you've had in five for the last 5 weeks hasn't been.
5 and 4 are still the same. They've been the last however many weeks since I put them in there, and you guys kind of side eyed me, and now they're in all of our top fives. So come on now, I got a little toot toot over here in my own horn.
You can toot your own horn, that's fine. But you also were, you doubted Senor Tomlin's choice of putting Russell Wilson in that week. You doubted his choice, and that's why
the
Steelers
are
in our top fives.
But I was the first one to turn back around on it and put him up there. So there you go. So that's right.
You acquiesced immediately.
I did. I did, and I put him right up there, and he deserved to be there. So I still have Philly at 5 and Pittsburgh at 4.
Yeah, Philly, I have at 5 and Pittsburgh at 4, even though I still don't trust Philly. Here's my issue with Philly, and I think I've said it a little bit throughout the year. If Saquon doesn't have a pretty impactful game, they don't win that game. And the last time Philly had a Barkley, they didn't end up with a ring either. So, just saying.
Yeah, that offense is really missing a good tight end. Because Dallas Goedert is just not as good as they thought he was going to be, how Zach Ertz was good. Yeah. He looked good when he had Zach Ertz next to him. And then when he had to be the guy, it just always and hasn't really been there. Their wide receivers have been hurt. But, yeah, man, Saquon's been nuts this year. All right, top three. Still same top three teams.
Different order.
Okay, what's your order?
I have the Chiefs at 3.
Okay.
What about you?
Why don't you just go through your top three?
Okay, I've got the Chiefs at 3, the Bills at 2,
okay,
and the Lions become the uncrowned king, finally gets the crown, and they get number one for the first time all year, even though people have wanted to probably put them up there.
It makes total sense that you would have your rankings be like that after the week we just had.
I mean, the Lions beat the brakes
off
the fucking team they were supposed to. It wasn't
the 32nd. Ranked team in the NFL now for a couple weeks at least.
The Vikings struggled against that team. The Eagles almost lost to that team. The Lions did what they were supposed to and put up 52 on the team.
I'm not arguing with you.
You put the Bills in first? Why? Just because they beat the Chiefs? The Kingslayer gets to be the king for a week?
No, I didn't.
Oh my god, you kept the Chiefs at 1?
Once again, for I think it's the third week in a row, my top five remains the same. Or top 4 weeks in a row. The Bills, just listen. Can you listen?
I'm trying to, but you didn't say anything of merit. You just said your top five didn't change. So get to your point.
The Bills are still behind the Lions, in my opinion, and yours.
I agree with that. Yes.
The Chiefs have the best loss.
I can't argue that by saying the Lions lost to themselves.
That's true.
Literally.
But I think that they lost to Tampa, right?
They did, but they lost because they had a too many men on the field thing because they didn't communicate field goal correctly. And then Goff throws 2 costly picks in a game where they had twice as many offensive yards as Tampa did.
Well,
the Lions beat the Lions. So the Lions are technically 9-0 because they beat themselves.
4 times the Buffalo Bills have beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season. Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. 3 times Kansas City has beaten Buffalo, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen in the playoffs. So
I'll take the playoff wins.
I'm telling you, the smell and the feel of what's actually going to happen in the championship rounds is slowly taking over what you've been doing this season as opposed to what I'm going to see, especially when we get to the top where these teams are going to be in the playoffs, right? And as far as I see right now, if you mix the weeks up, when are they won or lost, if it was just recency bias or not, the Chiefs still have home field advantage. And they have to go to Kansas until the Chiefs are not home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
They said the same thing last year. Stop it.
They may still be number one on this list no matter what.
I see your logic. I do.
Thank you.
I don't agree with it.
Listen.
Especially because the Lions have been playing better than the Chiefs the last like 4 or 5 weeks.
And
there have been plenty of other... I'm going to just use the word pundits because we don't use that word too often.
Have they, though? Goff threw 5 picks 2 weeks ago.
And they won!
So, big deal. And the Chiefs won all their other claims that we give them shit about continuously
and not playing close games. And Mahomes has thrown 2 or 3 picks and not a touchdown in a couple games.
Like,
Goff had one bad game.
Mahomes has had a bad year. The other one you said he threw two bad picks, too.
Okay. So Goff had 2 bad games. Okay. Mahomes had a bad year. We're on week 12.
And Mahomes has 3 rings, and he's going for his 4th and 3rd in a row.
That's a valid point, but we're not there yet. We're talking about regular season. We're not talking about playoffs.
Is Patrick Mahomes past Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time if he wins? If he wins the 3rd Super Bowl in a row? Really?
He's not even past Montana.
But he would have Montana the same, and he'd have the three-peat. No one's ever three-peated in the Super Bowl era.
So, what's your point? Stats only matter for so much. Like, he's had...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Last year was the most impressive victory they had.
I love that you said that. Stats do only matter for so much, because people only bring stats into it when they're trying to win an argument, and that's why I go with the feel in these lists. You can feel my heart in it.
In the huevos, you got the feeling.
I'll be honest
with
you. When I was writing it down, because I always go top to bottom when I do these things.
So do I.
And I sat for a good. I don't want to overestimate it, so it's probably a good 8, 9, 10 minutes. And just thought about the top three, because I was like. I still have the Chiefs ahead of Pittsburgh and Philly. I think those two teams stay the same, right? Because I've had them there forever. And then I'm like, is Buffalo better than Detroit, first of all? I went there first. And I'm like, I don't think I can say that yet. If they played a game in Buffalo, I definitely...
Buffalo struggles against hard-nosed teams, though. And Detroit is a hard-nosed team.
If they played in Buffalo, I would take Buffalo, though. But they won't play each other for anything meaningful in Buffalo.
I mean, you're right.
They would
play each other,
so that doesn't matter. And then I went, Chiefs are still the best team. They have the best player on both sides of the ball, in my opinion, right now.
Chris Jones and Mahomes. Is that where you're going with it?
I am. And I think they have one of the top 5 head coaches in the league.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying. But my problem with keeping them number one, because it was the same concept I had last year. Even though the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, so you can never count them out, I try to take a snapshot of the week and where their power lands now. Because we saw last year, the Buffalo Bills went from 6-6 and on death's door to winning the division because the Dolphins decided to shit the bed, and the Bills ended up rattling off, 5-6 in a row or some shit like that, including playoffs. You know what I mean?
I think so next year we find...
It's too early to smell test is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like by the time we hit a week into December, so like in 2 or 3 weeks, then I think we'll know who everybody is. But people can go on that December run and suddenly change everything.
Oh, I completely agree. I just think the top of it is you can do more of the feel up top as opposed to like when you get into like 8 through 18.
Unless there's an Eagles situation from last year or a Steelers situation from 4 years ago where they go from being like 11-0 or whatever to just dog shit.
So here's an idea I would like to do for next year. I'm going to say it out loud to hopefully that comes to fruition. Me, you, and Ray will have our rankings, and they will count double. But I would like to get 7 other contributing members to put in their rankings every week, and I'll do all the work. and put in the spreadsheet and everything. I'll think maybe it can be a traveling spreadsheet that you can just turn in and I can flip out, like community wise. And then we can have,
you could just
have,
do like a Google Drive with that though.
Yeah, we can actually have rankings, like our Oblong Ball Foot Show rankings, like, and then we can compare ours against everybody's, even though we're the three main guys on the show, our votes would count double, and then everybody else, we'd have seven other factors in there. So they
are we going to do it like Hall of Fame voting, where everything counts as one, but ours count as two?
No, we're going
to
do it.
So if everybody has somebody at one, they get a vote for one, and then whoever gets the most votes for one stays one?
No, we're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like college football poll, right? Like a coach's poll.
Like an aggregated spreadsheet type thing. Yeah.
Right, only we just turn in two sheets, but they're the same.
Fair enough. Okay, I like that.
So that way, like, the seven outside of the three of us has slightly more weight than the three of us combined, but individually we have more power than everyone else individually. So it's 7-6.
So if something is close, it'll probably tip in our favor because it'll be doubled. I get you.
It'll be anonymous is what I'd really like it to be. So I'd almost just ask people to fucking send it to me and I'll put it in, bring it up and debut it, and we'll see it right before a show, and then we can comment on what ours is opposed to the group consistency.
Could. Or we could just make that the Oblong Ball Foot Show power rankings, and we validate whatever the ranking is that stops that for everybody.
Yeah. Well,
that could be fun.
It's in the works.
It could be like it could be like debate club where we just have
the article.
The argument even if we don't believe in it.
But that's the article too. That's easy. You come out with the chair shot, you know, Oblong Ball Foot Show NFL power rankings every week as an article. That's going to probably
It could, especially if we do an aggregated spreadsheet type thing and we like narrow it to like top five. No one's going to care about like who we have at 19. Come on.
Oblong Ball Foot Show week 12. The one where we have show meetings during the show.
Show meetings during the show.
Welcome to the show meetings.
Welcome to the show meetings.
Yeah. You're cordially invited to a Oblong Ball Foot Show meeting.
Oh boy, it feels like I should be an OnlyFans thing. Oh, what kind of show is this? Hey.
We just recorded The Oddity. You can listen to that likely Sunday morning. It's a beautiful, quick little half-hour show where Dave Wirtz and I, we just gather four or five of the weirdest, oddest stories in the past week around the world, and we read them and comment on them, and hope you have a little giggle with us. But we just had a story that you're going to listen to Sunday where an OnlyFans content creator was also like a dog sitter and was using the person's house to film. And the person figured it out because they seen an advertisement by that person on their Facebook, and they have a specific like tiling on their floor in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, they were shooting scenes at their house and shit.
You know, all I'm going to say is that could have got a lot worse if you said they were using the dog for their OnlyFans content.
No, the lady. So the lady like knew it was her house right away and then thought, okay, now I got to see. So she like bought a 1 month subscription to see, and like it was, yeah, she's like, okay, this is it. That's bullshit, you know. But yeah, the dog was not in any of the films. So.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, the dog
no
wasn't.
No animals were coerced to do anything.
The dog wasn't licking any spread eagles.
I'm just. Jif peanut butter goes a long way, apparently, from what people say.
Whoa, Nelly! I gotta get that. What's his name?
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Who's the broadcaster?
What, it's like a Mr. Ed thing?
Who's the broadcaster that said, "Whoa, Nelly"?
Dude, I don't fucking know.
Okay, who's the tight end? Who was the tight end that came over to the Packers?
From when? What era? Bubba Franks?
No, before that, Keith Jackson. It's Keith Jackson.
He was the fourth option when I typed in "Whoa, Nelly" in the Google thing. So, yeah, I'll give you that one.
But it is Keith Jackson, right?
Yeah.
The commentator. And there was also Keith Jackson, the tight end, that played for the Packers in the mid-90s.
Oh, that's what you were aiming for with the
tight end. Yeah, because I couldn't think of the announcer's name, but I knew he had the same name as a Packers tight end. So I thought maybe if you could remember a Packers tight end. So then I finally remembered the name.
You don't even say when. You're just like, Packers tight ends. I'm like, they're not my team. I can't just rattle them off. Like, oh, yeah, you had Bubba Franks.
I just want you to know.
This
is all NFL related.
Yeah, I mean, technically it is NFL adjacent, so I'll give you that one. Okay.
It is getting deep in here, so I would tell you to take precaution.
Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado. Cuidado con tus mentiras. Que yo las puedo adivinar cuando me miras. Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estoy de vuelta cuando tú ni has comenzado. Cuidado, no estoy tan ciego para dejarte continuar con este juego. Cuidado, cuando me tengas que dejar a un lado, piensa que el mundo seguirá.
All right, it's about that time in the show where I need my pen. The only time in the show. And guess what, folks?
That's fine. I like how you just use the Cuidado song as like a time fill in case you can't find something or lose it in the seats of your recliner.
Where did I put the pen?
Let it play. That was fantastic.
I did. It was great, though. Everybody likes Cuidado. I mean, sometimes it's the only reason Ray shows up to the show. I got to have another pen somewhere.
If you literally only had, one pen in the house, that's weird, man. Have you never been to a bank and just, stole them? Because, that's what everybody does in Jersey.
So, for the record, I just want everybody to know I don't steal office supplies from work.
Okay, but accidentally leaving it in your pocket and coming home and then going, oh, wow, there's a pen. That's not stealing. That's forgetfulness.
Okay, I got a pen. It's from a bank.
There we go.
So fuck you.
Wait. I'll talk about that off air. That's funny, actually.
What? Huntington?
Yes.
I'll talk about
that off air.
Oh, it's not my it's not my bank.
I'm just saying, I'll talk about that off air.
Okay. I still want to know where that other fucking pen is. All right.
I like how you talk about not stealing pens, though, when you come up with a bank pen next. There you go. You didn't steal it. Someone else stole it and left it in your house. Hawk. Hawk did it. He was out and about because he's an outdoor cat, right?
Oh, my God.
Like, mouse pen.
Are you kidding me right now? You're not pen shaming me. Are you pen shaming me?
Not really.
Okay. Where's the other pen, though? I gotta find that. This never goes well for me when I lose a pen.
Or you could just, type it. Instead of using an actual notebook. Like it's fucking 1856.
I'm going on 11 years of notebooks, guy.
I know, but you can't find those old notebooks. So if you had
they're all right there. I have them. They're all right there. I can find everything.
And oh sure.
Except for my pen that I was
using
tonight.
Sift through every notebook to be like, which notebook was it? Was it this one? No, is it this one?
Have I gone to get a beer during this show? Is it at least
you have not?
Oh, well, I'm over here now, so.
Unless you did it beforehand, and that could be why maybe the pen is sitting over there, because you did it before we started.
No, I had it. I had it, and now it's gone. It's in the chair. It's probably in the chair.
The chair ate it. I hate when that happens.
Okay, let's get on with the show. I have my phone.
No, this was our best digression segment ever. Just veiled comments about pens and situations.
You've never been through this with me before?
Honestly, no. You normally don't lose the pen.
Oh, this is a reoccurring thing with Dan and AJ and every other show that I need to have a... Well, actually, that's the only other one I need to have a pen for. So, yeah.
That's probably why, because Potties were, you were two margarita pitchers in. And
no, I had to have a... I lost the pen there, too, I think. But you guys would just... You guys wouldn't notice. You just keep talking.
So, okay, there we go. We find the real issue.
You're
here.
Like, you guys...
It's just two people and
you guys
not three.
You guys are like, finally, he lost his pen. We don't have to listen to him for 5 minutes.
You think we cared? We just wouldn't shut up. Why do you think Potty's Wars lasted 2 or 3 hours?
So, unknowingly, I put up...
The longest whatever?
No, I put up an episode Tuesday to fill in for Hockey Talk, which will be back next week. And it was from 2020 or 2021. 2020 maybe. And it was so perfect because we opened with our tribute to Veterans Day. So it was really nice after that was this past week. So, but yeah.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the holiday special there. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'd love to even convince you guys to do a monthly podcast there, but we'll see what happens. We'll see. Maybe I can procure some monetary, commitments for that show. We'll see what happens. I might be able to do something like that. That would probably change some tunes.
That might change a tune here or there. Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Anyway, NFL.
Everybody's got a price, like DiBiase says, you know?
The Amazon Prime game, Thursday night, that little mom-pa shop. I so wanted to pick this game, and I was like, oh, yeah, the AFC North. Mm-hmm. Steelers at Browns. It's the inverse record game. The 8-2 Steelers on the road in Cleveland against the 2-8 Browns. Steelers favored by 3.5. Forecast looks to be rain. Over under 36.5. I couldn't lock it in.
I couldn't lock it in either. I feel like the Steelers will probably win, but we said the same thing about the Browns and the Ravens, and look what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... I mean, look at the Packers and the Bears. Like, the Bears should have won that game, you know? I mean,
correct.
It's just the division games are what they are.
Agreed.
All right. Chiefs coming off a loss heading to Carolina. They might score 99 points. They're going to score a bunch. They're going to have a good game. Will they cover the 11 points they're giving on the road over under 43? That's interesting, though. If you think the Chiefs are going to take it to them, you would take the over here.
I mean, I care more about the points than the differential. If I was going to take anything, I'd probably go over on points. But Panthers have been playing, I'm going to use this word very loosely because it's been such a bad 2 years for them. They've been playing inspired football last couple weeks where they've had some good games. They've stayed in games. It hasn't been against great opponents, don't get me wrong, but they're winning, which is more than they've done for a while. So I don't think the Carolina Reapers are going to show up against the Chiefs. So I don't think Chiefs are dropping two in a row, but 11's an ask. So putting it over 42 or whatever, that's not asking a lot, though.
Right, 43. Yeah, I think that can easily be.
Yeah, I think the points, surpassed. If you bet on anything, are what you go with, not the spread.
NFC North. Matchup. Vikings heading to Chicago to take on the Bears. Vikings 3.5-point favorites, over under 39.5. I almost locked this one in too. I think the Vikings should definitely take care of business here. Chicago is pretty much the straw broke the camel's back last week with that being taken away from them. They could have got back to .500 after all them losses and said, ooh, we finally beat the Packers. But no, they've got a very long losing streak against the Packers. And Bears still suck.
I can't argue that logic, but what I can say is the Vikings have needed a lot of help to beat a bottom five Jaguars team, a bottom five Titans team. Like, the last 2 weeks, they haven't looked great. In weeks they lost, people like to focus on, oh, I guess Sam Darnold's face doesn't draw penalties because of face masks that weren't called and stuff like that. But if you're a good enough team, you don't need ticky-tack fouls to be called all the time. You should be beating the team anyway. So I don't know what the Vikings really are right now. Like, they've been winning games, so I think I have them in my top 10 out of deference to their record. And I think they're a good team. They're a playoff team. But I think the Bears are sneaky good. They could – not sneaky good. It's a division game, so Bears could win this even though you're not expecting them to. I didn't lock it. Don't get that wrong. But, like, I don't think it's as done and dusted as you made it seem.
I think I had them to cover against Jacksonville. I should have took them to cover last week.
Taking the Niners. That was your big problem.
No, I did. I did take them to cover last week, and they covered. Yeah, that was my only pick to win. Titans. Speaking of the Titans, they head to Houston to take on the Texans. I so want to take Houston here as well, but I don't know. The Titans are weird. It's 8 points. I didn't lock this in.
Same. I didn't look at any either for similar, you know, issues where the Texans are streaky. Even if Mixon has been playing really well since coming back off the injury, like, Stroud hasn't. Like, so I don't know. And Tank Dell's been all right. Like, Anderson's been really stepping up on the defensive side. But, like, I don't know. The Titans also been sticking in games. They're not winning shit, but, like, they're looking not respectable, but at least feisty. So Texans will probably cover, but I'm not going to lock it.
No, me neither. Me neither. However, though, first lock of the week right here, Detroit heading to Indy, very short trip. They're given 7.5 on the road, over under 50. I'm locking in the Detroit Lions to cover 7.5 points. Yeah, 100%. Okay. Anthony Richardson's out there. I think he's in that rookie-ish-esque kind of season where he has finally taken over. I know it's the second year. Back again.
No, but you're right.
Benched.
Amount of games he's played, it's still a rookie schedule, technically. So you're right. I'm not going to argue.
You have a lot of up games, down games, up games, down games, up games, down games. Just had an up game. I think it's time for a down game.
That last game, though, he kind of brought him back from the brink. Like, he showed that those couple weeks off getting benched might have actually helped.
But he also did
it might have been
against,
like, the Bryce Young effect, you know?
He also did it against, you know, a Jets team that is pretty much done.
Yes, but if you build confidence, it doesn't matter what team it's against. Confidence goes a long way.
I hear you. So you're picking you're locking in the Colts to cover here?
Fuck no. Stop
okay.
It. I'm not drunk.
Oh, just checking. I didn't know. If you were arguing for argument's sake or not.
Lions at my number one. I find the 7 to be a little suspect.
No, you know what?
The Lions are going to win.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about us picking these games. If you don't like to pick point spreads that are higher than a touchdown, you don't have to, because you only have to pick 3 out of, you know, at least 13 matchups, right? So
I've picked spreads that are higher than a touchdown. My
problem is, though,
there haven't been a lot of teams that just beat the brakes off of middle tier teams. Okay. If there's a huge gap, it's usually because you're beating the shit out of, like, the bottom 5, like the Lions and the Jaguars last week. The Colts are better than that. You know what I mean? They're in that murky middle, not quite wild card, but they're going to win a couple games that they might maybe shouldn't win. You know what I mean? I don't know what's a good way to kind of describe
that
zone.
They have talented players on their team. They do.
It's like that Twilight Zone of ranking, where it's like that 19 through like 23, where it's like if they go on a run, they could make the playoffs. They have talent, they have potential, but they're just not living up to it. So the faith isn't there. But this could change things. We'll see.
AFC East matchup. Patriots head south to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins giving a full touchdown with extra point.
I almost took the Patriots here.
Did you? I almost took the Dolphins.
Almost.
I think the Dolphins are getting back in the groove here.
I still don't
trust the Dolphins.
Looks
to be a sunny day. So there you go.
I mean, it is in Miami.
I didn't lock it in. I didn't lock it in at all.
Me neither. I do like the Patriots just because I like what Drake May brings to that offense, and I like the hope he's kind of restored in the fan base because he has talent. You know, unlike Mac Jones, where Mac Jones is more of like a game manager type, Drake May actually looks like he could be special if he gets a little bit of help and a little bit of talent around him. So,
yeah, it seems like we're going to get a pretty decent quarterback crop. I'll even give Caleb Williams the benefit of the doubt of poor coaching and poor offensive
really?
Line play.
Are you drunk? You're saying you're almost about to say something fairly complimentary towards someone who wears a Bears uniform.
No.
Are you okay? Blink twice if you need help. Do I need to send the police? Is this a hostage situation? Okay. Just checking. All right. So you may proceed, but I just wanted to make sure we're clear. You've been doing nothing but shitting on the Bears for as long as I know you, which I don't disagree with necessarily, but like, you're about to say something nice. Go for it.
No, technically I am.
You're shitting on the coaches not knowing how to coach the kid, but like, you're giving him credit at being talented, so that means the Bears might have hope if they change the coaching.
No, they're stuck in the same cycle they've always been stuck in.
I'm just making sure you understand where the logic took me. They're like, if you get rid of Eberflus and actually bring in a coach that could help him.
They're going to get rid of him. They have to. They have to get rid of the general manager. They have to get rid of everything there. Just so do the Jets.
Do you think they bring in Kingsbury then?
I don't. The Bears. The Bears.
Bears. The Bears.
I don't know. I'm not. I'm up on watching these games and knowing these stats and knowing like what I see watching these games. That's about it. I don't know the inside of these offices and who's the next guy ready to go. The Bears need someone really smart at the helm, and they need to give them all the power, whether that's the GM or whatever. Or, you know, you get a coach and hire a GM that they like. I don't know, but somebody needs to come in there and have one vision because they're just bad, and they keep going and doing the same bad, stupid thing. They draft a quarterback in the middle of a coach who they really don't believe in. Then they get rid of the coach. Then they bring in another coach and another general manager, and they get time because it's their first and second year and it doesn't work. So then they get rid of the quarterback, and then they draft another quarterback, and that doesn't work out right away. So then they go out and get a new coach and GM. And then do you see where the cycle goes?
I do understand. It's also like the Jets cycle. So I get it. And it was like the Buccaneers cycle for a while. But you see, the difference is the Buccaneers never draft a quarterback, really. We just tend to pick some up on free agency. Brad Johnson, Tom Brady, Baker. We drafted Jameis and threw him away because he kind of sucked and didn't win anything. Then Josh Freeman, we don't talk about him. We don't talk about Sean King.
Sean King took you to an NFC championship.
Stop it. That's not a ring.
But that's better than every other quarterback that you've had in your history.
Testaverde did better with the Jets than he did with the Bucks. Steve Young is known as a Niner, not a Buck.
So, yeah, Sean King's like your third best quarterback ever.
Stop it. I don't disagree with that. Sadly, I don't.
Can I tell you who the fourth best Packer quarterback is ever?
Did you say fourth?
Yeah.
Okay. I have my personal opinion, but me yours.
I mean, we obviously know the top three.
Please tell me. Okay. Who's your number three? I know who the top two are. Who is your three?
Regardless, I'm in no particular order. Starr, Favre, and Rodgers are the top three.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so who is your four then? I'm actually curious now.
Fourth best Packers quarterback ever?
Are you going to say Love? Are you going to just...
No, Jay Cutler.
That's a good joke. Okay, I appreciate that.
Thanks,
you.
Buddy.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sports.
The Bears still suck.
The Bears.
Just ahead of Don Majkowski. Then Lynn Dickey.
No, that's fair. Sad thing is, I think our fourth best quarterback would probably be like Doug Williams and then maybe Brian Gracie for five. If you really want to round out like who our top is for Bucks.
What was his name? Shit. It's on the tip of my tongue.
You're not going to say Steve DeBerg, are you?
Yeah, Steve DeBerg. You got it.
I would throw this fucking bottle at you if you were within throwing distance.
I was going to say Wade Wilson, but that's the Vikings, I think, and the Bears.
I think you're right.
All right. As quick as we went through the first two segments, we're doing some extra cool riffing during the fucking picks this week.
Yeah, this is the riffing take-a-long-time section.
Cuidado.
Sometimes you do it early, Cuidado. Sometimes you do it late.
Cuidado, motherfuckers.
We warned you ahead of time in Spanish to show how scary and serious we were.
Let's get to my second lock of the week. Give me the Buccaneers to cover 6 on the road at the Giants, who have officially put Sam Darnold as quarterback 4.
Oh, wait. 4? I thought he was 3. But, A, I agree. Bucks are my first lock over the Giants.
In practice today, he was 4 behind DeVito, Drew Locke, and whoever else the fourth quarterback is roster.
I heard Dable's press conference where he said that it was going to be Cutlets and then Drew, but I didn't know that fucking Jones was behind the third stringer.
I'm trying to see who it is.
I don't even want to know. Good God. Who the... That's embarrassing. He's like practice squad only now. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't even have him on the main roster here yet. I'd have
crazy.
To go to X to find that. That's insane.
Yeah, it is. I don't think Tommy Cutlets is going to do anything against the Bucs. Because the Bucs have been putting up a fight but losing games and getting pissed off about it because that's how Baker is. You know what I mean? Like, he brings that kind of, like... pit bull mentality, and I mean the dog, not the rapper. So, like, just so we're clear, I don't mean Mr. Worldwide, no Mr. 305. Like, just like he gets pissed off when he plays bad, or like when the team loses close games. So I think the Bucks are gonna beat the shit out of the Giants. Like, I don't think it's gonna be close.
Yeah, are you locking it in as well?
Yep, that's my first lock.
You know, it's funny, you know, you talk about a lot of people think about home and road games and stuff like that. I just kind of don't really care if it's a home or a road game unless the team's really bad. Oh, Tim Boyle. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
he still has a job somewhere?
Per Bleacher Report, 5 hours ago, Daniel Jones was the Giants QB4 behind Drew Locke and Tim Boyle in practice today. Tommy DeVito will be the starter.
Holy crap, you're behind Tim Boyle? Jesus. Jones's career is over.
Well, I mean,
who needs a quarterback that would pick Jones?
He's going to live a great life. He got paid $160 million in this contract.
Oh, I know, but he's going to be considered a fairly big bust.
He's going to go he's going to go somewhere next year and play well, I think.
Where?
Vegas.
He's a shell-shocked Eli Manning.
Vegas?
Isn't there rumblings, and you follow Rogers? College closer than I do, so you can actually validate this or
Dion?
Not. Doesn't Dion want Shador to go there?
It's interesting because I heard the rumors that, like, they were a package deal. Like, here's your new coach, here's your new quarterback, and that he was going to go to the NFL. But he said in an interview, I thought I saw, whether or not it was something that was legit or not. Oh, nice. Splash Mountain. Brooke Lopez just stepping up for the Buckaroos there. That he's not going anywhere. So I don't know.
I mean, that's what they all have to say, because you don't want to lose the locker room and you don't want to have the team, turn on you before the end of the year.
The only place I wouldn't want to see Shador go would be Carolina, honestly.
I mean, I agree. I don't think Carolina would draft another quarterback anyway when they don't have a team around the one that they just drafted. So.
Well, if they got Deion Sanders as their coach.
After you just picked up Canales, too? Like, that's...
David Tepper.
I feel like if they did that would just be Tepper fucking things up again.
Yeah, but I don't know. For Deion, it could be the right thing. Like, dude, I think he knows enough people to make it successful. He just brings in brilliant people.
He's a part owner in Vegas now. So, you have Shador learn under Brady to a degree. You have the excellence and the prestige of the Raiders organization.
Let's talk about this. Brady is the owner, and he's a broadcaster, and he's in team meetings.
What's wrong with that? He doesn't give up, the game plan for the Raiders. Everybody can watch the TV the same as Brady can. Brady is merely commentating on what he sees.
The commentators,
which is the same thing that happens
No. But these commentators, they go into meetings with these coaches before the games to get
insight. He's not allowed to.
So he doesn't?
That's part of his rule, was that he's not allowed to go into other locker rooms. And I think it's other locker rooms because you have to be able to go into the stadium to do commentary. But he's not allowed to have that kind of access.
Doing
like
commentary. Yeah, but then his broadcast partner has the access.
Because his broadcast partner is color and he's gameplay.
You
want Brady to break down the game. You don't want Brady to be like, I talked to Zach Taylor and he said he can't tell smells.
Talking about inside information being passed to Brady that's beneficial for his franchise that he can use.
I'm pretty sure I saw something where he can't do that.
But
unless Al Michaels decides to float him some extra information, like that's...
What about his guy who's in the booth with him? What about the guy who's in the booth with him?
But that's too late to get the info and make anything of it.
I'm thinking future things, like games that they don't play on that day, but he learns something for the future time his Raiders do play that team.
I feel like that's a little too... Conspiracy theory?
I get it, but this is still Spygate and Inflategate. Like, he's still coming from all of this stuff.
Spygate wasn't him. He wasn't the one sending people out. Deflategate is... The polls were within legal limit. It's not his fault that, you know...
Okay, fine. But what about Watergate?
Shit. Brady's not a crook. You know, he's a family man. Don't you understand? I'm not a crook.
I'm not a crook. Okay.
He's even such a good guy. He let his wife cheat on him with the Taekwondo instructor that he made her go learn from. He knew. He's just like, here you go, bro. He's a bro's bro. Ask Edelman. Ask Gronk.
He always wondered about that one night at that party if everybody was actually kung fu fighting. And
exactly.
They were. This show feels like Potus War every week. More and more every week. And even Ray is like, oh, just give me more. Give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys, Commanders. I was almost going to lock this one in as well because I'd really love to see a big game from my fantasy football duo on the Commanders. But the Commanders are giving 11 to the Cowboys, and I think that's
Commanders
pretty...
Commanders have not played well enough lately for that, though.
I think it's fair, though, because in all honesty, an underrated thing the Commanders can do is run the ball with Brian... Ekeler and Brian Washington?
I think that's right.
Robinson.
It's Robinson or Washington.
It's Robinson. I apologize.
But either way, it's a division game. We just talked about the division game thing with the Giants, with the Vikings and the Bears. Like, the Giants also made the game close against the Commanders. That was before the Commanders went on their streak and before we knew the Giants were shit. But a lot of things didn't change. The Giants still had all their weapons. The Commanders were still the Commanders, and that was a fucking field goal fest where they won like 21-18 or some shit like that. So this could go any way. And Cooper Rush is a competent backup. Now,
he's not.
He didn't have a great matchup against the Texans because the team was outmatched, but he had decent numbers. I think he threw for like over 300 yards, whatever. So like, Rush isn't garbage. He could keep it close. I think he'll keep it within 11. I think the Commanders still win, but like 11 is disrespectful to the way that the Commanders have played lately.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I would like to offer some things.
You can make a counterpoint or retort. Go for it.
I would appreciate it if my phone would cooperate right now as I'm trying to access the things I would like to tell you.
Okay. Is it just Commander numbers, or are you just going to, like, pick apart Cooper Rush?
What is going on right now? And no shit polls start loading right now, you fucking knob. There we go.
Hit!
We got it. Oh, and I didn't even hit it. Damn it. All right, never mind. The Cowboys, they don't even win at home. Like, I don't understand. Like, they're horrible.
Oh. Yeah. I saw that stat, too, that the Cowboys don't have a home win or... It was like, what, the circle of who has a win in Cowboys Stadium?
Jake,
who doesn't? It's the Cowboys.
Jake Paul's in there.
Yeah, I got you. But
They're on the road anyway, so that's
like
even,
I said, I don't think the Cowboys are going to win.
They're on the road.
The Cowboys aren't
going to
win it, but 11's
a
lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay, we'll keep it moving here. 305. There's only one 305 game, and there's two 325 games. So I got to start with the 305 game. Said Broncos taking on the Raiders in Las Vegas. My last lock, Broncos given 6. The Broncos, they're turning into a really good Sean Payton team. Period. End of story. Bo Nix looks good.
You know, I agree with you, and that's my second lock. I wish I didn't have similar locks this week.
That's okay.
Kind of want to go against the grain now and just pick something else. I don't know. I still have my third one that you didn't pick because you already picked your other one, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm good to go. I will get locks from Ray, hopefully tomorrow before the Thursday night game or before the Sunday games. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any reason the Broncos shouldn't win this game by a touchdown.
That's exactly where I was at with it, too, yeah.
I mean, they
Broncos
need...
are just the better team at the moment.
Well, and they need to win games. Like, they need to win games. They just have to keep winning games. They want to make the playoffs. They got a good young team. Sean Payton's credibility is coming back. We can go to the Cardinals-Seahawks, Battle of the Birds next up in Seattle.
That's Seattle, my last lock. There we go.
Is it? What do you got?
The Cards.
Okay, Arizona, -1. Why?
Honestly, it's close as hell, and I just think the Cardinals are going to win the game. Because this is technically a battle for first place in the division, isn't it?
Nothing says recipe for disaster than both of us picking 3 road teams this week.
You know, you say that, but weirder shit has happened. It is the NFL.
I want to really go back one of these days and do all the analysis on, like, what happens when we pick all road teams and, you know,
you
what
have
happens
fun with
when
that,
we all pick the same thing.
Like I said, the Cardinals are only up by one game in the division and, you know, the Seahawks beat the Niners, so they're looking good breaker-wise there. If the Cardinals beat the Seahawks, they pull away a little better in the division. You know what I mean? They establish themselves as a legitimate threat for the playoffs. And it'd be nice just to see Kyler and Marvin Harrison actually look good, bring some respect back to the team after they've been kind of a laughingstock because of Call of Duty memes and Kyler not being able to see over his center shoulder pads or something like that, you know?
Okay, so I have stats update for you. Week 2, you picked all road teams, and we're 2-1. And week 4, I picked all road teams, and I was 2-1. So we are 4-2.
So we're guaranteed to go 2-1!
We're 4-2 picking all road teams, Andrew, you and I.
That's a good record. That's good. That's good soup.
We're just trying to make Christmas better for you and your family, folks.
We are. We figured out the path. It's just pick road teams.
That's all we're doing. That's it.
Hey, if I go 2-1, that means I'm back over 500 for picks since like week 2. Yeah. So
look at you getting your hopes up. Nothing says disappointment like getting your hopes up.
Damn right. Time to go 0-3 this week. Luck is just gonna be like, oh, you went 3-0 last week? No, you can't have that, fam. 0-3. Reverse it.
The final late afternoon game sees the San Francisco 49ers heading east to the coast of Green Bay. Take on the Packers. Packers -2 here, over under 47.5.
Bootleg Tom Brady against new age Brett Favre. Who do you think's better?
I can't pick this game. I can't pick this game because it's like my wife and my crush.
You are completely correct because you have become a bit of a Niners fan. So.
I don't know if I'm a fan. I just think they're very good. They're very talented, and when they're healthy and they're working well, they're like
for
really
as
good.
As long as I've been on this show, you are the first person and sometimes the only person to keep that Niners flag waving. Like they lose 3 in a row, and you're just like, no, they're still good. I still believe.
Right.
Then go on a run, and you're like, look.
But right. And that happened last year, right? And what happened? They were in the Super Bowl. So, like, I mean.
And they lost.
Okay, but they did better than 30.
I was okay with it because I picked them.
They were still
so
better
than
30 other teams, right?
It was okay because I picked them to make the Super Bowl also. So I was right there with you.
Well, thank God you were right so it could be okay.
Exactly. Now you understand.
Oh, no, I've understood. Trust me. Out of everybody.
That's why the Falcons will always be a little higher on my power rankings than probably everyone else's, because I'm like, no, I still want my week zero to work out, so they need to win.
They need
to be good. I'm going to will it into fucking fruition.
No, turnovers. It's going to come down to turnovers.
Who's baking? He's in Tampa, so like it's not in this game right now.
But I think the Packers should win.
Jameis Winston isn't in this game either.
Packers should win this
turnovers
game.
Turnovers are delicious.
The Packers should win this game by a touchdown.
I agree that I think the Packers are going to win the game. And I know that you you do everything based off of mouthfeel, like a good wine critic. But is that going to like tank your aspirations for the Niners next week if they do lose to the Packers? Because weeks are running out and they'd be 5-6.
Worlds are colliding, Jerry. Worlds are colliding.
Okay, you don't want to admit to you don't want to lock yourself into an answer.
Yeah,
you're
I
just
don't,
like, nah.
I don't know. I got to see how everything plays out. I just very week to week with like everything, and then overall, you know, you kind of just how I feel about it. It's very booking by Tunney. What can I do?
I do the same thing, and a lot of the things I miss on are like when I thought that there'd be teams that would be resilient and come back, like. The Bears, after their first couple losses, I thought they might just get mad and come back on that. And they had two really close losses. The Commanders game was fluky. The game against the Packers game was fluky, and all things considered, a Hail Mary and a blocked fucking field goal. Like, that's heartbreaking. That's backbreaking. The team is probably dead this year because that's like God going against you in two games to not win it. But they at least showed life. And that's kind of why I was like, maybe they'll bottle that and take it somewhere, and they just didn't. They bared. They bared down, and they kept going down and down and down. Little did I know that bear down was just the direction of like their talent and their trajectory to actually win things. It's just down, 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 down. I don't think they understood the meaning. Should we teach them?
No, we shouldn't.
But I want to, because then we can also teach them how to make pizza, because they make a fucking lasagna!
I like their lasagna. Sunday night football.
They call it pizza.
Sunday night football.
I like lasagna too, but that's not a pizza.
The Eagles head west for a big matchup with the Rams here. We're really going to see if the Rams are going to be able to turn this around or if the Eagles can stay up in the top five here. Eagles -3 at the Rams. I think that means Vegas says this is kind of a coin flip.
I agree with you. And I don't know. Stafford already had his bad game where he threw, like, no touchdowns, one interception, and, like, barely 200 yards, something like that. So he already had his, like, Stafford take a nap kind of game. So I don't think the Eagles defense can keep up with the Rams offense if the Rams are actually, like, clicking. And all they have to do is stop Saquon. We've been over this. Just stop Saquon.
Yeah, I like the Eagles here. I'm like I said, I wouldn't lock it in, but are the Eagles going to be solidified here as a contender if they win this game on the road? Excuse me.
Contender for what? The NFC Championship, or you mean for the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl.
No.
Okay.
That team still has so many holes in it, and the teams at the tippy top have the defenses necessary to keep Saquon like sequestered. Sequester Saquon. I like it. There you go. That should be a shirt. If only people knew what the word sequester means, especially not in Philly. Fucking Christ.
Monday Night Football. Oh, by the way, this could be a segment, by the way. Bengals, Bills, Falcons, Jaguars, Jets, Saints, all on a bye, by the way.
Ah, okay. Good to know.
By the way. Get it. big matchup Monday night. Maybe the game of the week, honestly.
Should be the game of the week. It's a Harbaugh Bowl.
Ravens Chargers in Los Angeles. Ravens favored -3 on the road, over under 51. What do you think happens here?
Fuck. I mean, it's the Ravens this year against like half of the Ravens from last year, but Justin Herbert's the quarterback instead. Right? because don't the Chargers have like most of the Ravens' old running backs and all that other stuff? So like, I like the Chargers. I was high on the Chargers last year when we learned that Harbaugh was going to that team, because I locked them in as a playoff team last year. We have it on record on like the last episode we did before either the last episode before the Super Bowl or the Super Bowl year episode, whichever one we did. And I like that. I like the Chargers. It's going to be close. The Chargers defense was good in the first half against the Bengals and clutched up instead of chartered out. So that's nice. The Ravens defense has been kind of suspect and booty all year. So, you know, nobody's selling bootios. And I trust the Chargers defense and like Derwin James and Bosa a little more. So I'll pick the Chargers, but it's close. It can go either way. This should be a good fucking game.
Yeah, it should be. The Ravens have like played teeter totter all year. I feel like
their defense has never shown up.
Yeah, that's why I just can't like I just don't think it's their year. Regardless of the fact they picked up Derrick Henry and they just still haven't figured out how to continuously use him for some reason.
How hard is it? You hand him the ball.
I understand.
All of the games they've lost, he's gotten the ball less than 20 times. Well, it's been like 11, 13, 13, and 18. And he has like 65 or 70 or 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, it's like he gets a touchdown and they're just like, all right, you're good. We're done here. Let's just throw the ball. It's like, stop it. Fucking feed him.
I do not.
You got him for a reason.
Yeah. I don't understand. But we're getting another Harbaugh Bowl incoming here this weekend, so can't go wrong with that. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. And that's another edition of the Oblong Ball Foot Show. It's just Oblong Ball Foot Show. There's no the before it. There is a the before thechairshot.com, so make sure you're checking that out. Tons of great coverage over there. Podcast galore, sports entertainment, and sports entertainment. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Chairshot t-shirts make a great gift. Andrew, what's going on in your neck of the woods, brother?
Same thing as usual. You know, TNA coverage on Chairshot.
Your TNA champion was just in IZW.
I did see that. That's right. Mm-hmm. And Greg did talk about having a good day. So I didn't see the results, but I did know that Nemeth was going to be there. So that's good for them.
Yeah, great for them.
Good for IZW. Good for Nemeth being able to kind of spread the, I guess, the wealth of the resurgence of TNA, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. The storytelling has been suspect. Really? I'm not a fan of Tommy Dreamer as a booker. I'm going to put it that way.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it.
Aren't you watching it more often lately?
Not now that I'm doing, like, 17 podcasts a week, so...
What you're supposed to say is now, since Tommy Dreamer has the book, it sucks, so you stopped.
Right, that's why I stopped.
Yeah, okay, see, I agree completely. There you go.
Yeah, just like I'm going to stop watching New York.
He's worse than Nasawa.
I'm going to stop watching Giants football now that Tommy DeVito has the ball.
Why? We like Cutlets. We don't like his agent, and he fired that agent.
I never watched Giants football to begin with.
Okay.
At IWC.
I mean, I wouldn't expect you to get it. I didn't think the signal went from the Northeast to the Midwest.
Well, I could have had the Sunday ticket.
You could have, but you also didn't fucking watch Thursday night football for like the first half of this year because you couldn't figure that out.
I record DWI that night too, so I just gotta kind of get in there when I can. So, but Sundays I'm all in. You know, what can you do?
That's fair. That's fair.
Follow me at PC Tunney. Like I said, ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Oh, that's the wrong one. Let's see this one. Well, that's the wrong one, too.
You did the same thing last week.
Hey, here we go. We found it.
There we go.
Follow this show at Chairshot NFL. Follow him at IWC Warchief. Follow me at PC Tunney. Follow Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. TheChairShot.com, Chairshot Radio Network. All your favorite streaming platforms. Woo!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.